Welcome to the Joko Joso family. Our children will put in your life.
Hello, brothers and sisters, friends, family, lovers, marriage counselors, dancers, professional chefs, construction workers, fish choppers, nuns, people who make catalytic converters, car mechanics, handholders, robbers, criminals, serial killers, clowns, freaks, masseuses? How the fuck do you say that? Whores. Monks. Soldiers. Out there fighting in the fucking weirdest parts of the fucking world. And those of you on aircraft carriers. In some weird ship bunk. Smelling the farts of your comrades or fellow soldiers or generals. Welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. I greet you with all of my chakras open. My third eye open, my mouth open, my eyes bugging out. I want to hug your soul and merge with you so that our minds can wind together and become some super entity and transform the planet into a true Garden of Eden and a paradise, which it already is. We just have to wake up to that fact. Lovely, beautiful day outside. And what a great fucking day for the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, because I have been sponsored. I'm sponsored for real. We did it once with Audible, but the commercial I did for them was so fucking bad. I think they never wanted to do it again. This goddamn teacup pig fucked me out of that one. But we got it. These guys are cool. They seem really cool. Here's the deal. I'm going to do the advertisement, then we're going to move on. But then I'm gonna try not to spend too long on the advertisement. It's fucking hilarious. The copy that they've given me to read is fucking hilarious. The problem is, anytime you start doing an advertisement, you automatically seem suspect, like you're lying, or that there's. I'm not lying. If you guys don't want to buy fucking dildos, butt plugs, nipple clamps, fleshlights, lubricant, I don't know what, ear fuckers, whatever they have there, things that you don't. I don't care. But I think you should, because they're fun. And if you buy enough of it, I guess I keep having a sponsor, which is cool, because it means I'm going to start putting out two episodes a week and not do the bonus episode thing like I did with the Lavender Hour. Maybe occasionally a bonus episode here and there, but blah, blah. Listen to this copy. This is like they had to write this for the radio, because the radio is so filled with fucking, is so censored that you can't talk about fucking or pussy or wet pussies or hard cocks or jizz spraying out or butt plugs or just fucking your goddamn every orifice of your body with technology. You can't talk about that on the radio. You got to say shit like this. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to try to read it like they probably have to read it on the radio, because it's so funny. Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. Go do it, boys! But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item and 50% off, you're also going to receive 3 free adult DVDs. For a little inspiration plus a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it off, free shipping. So go to adamandeve.com for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type Duncan for the offer code upon checkout. And you get an extra gift, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, blah, blah, blah. So that's the fucking, what I would say is just fucking go buy some butt plugs, you pervs. Get yourself fucked. Use it. Turn your goddamn girlfriend or boyfriend into something out of a Whitley Strieber book. Turn your fucking girlfriend into someone from Communion. Be a gray alien. Probe and prod and fuck every trembling orifice of her body until she just squirts gallons of vaginal secretion across the fucking bed, all over your cat, fucking all over your laptop. Destroy your laptop with your girl. If you have not destroyed your laptop with a joy spray of your fucking wife or girlfriend because you fucked her so hard that she just jizzed on every part. Your fucking bedroom, when you open it, it should be like the scene from The Shining where the blood comes out of the elevator, only it's not blood, it's cum and vaginal secretions because you've been using the fine fuck technology that these sweeties over at Adam and Eve have been developing. They've got laboratories filled with men fucking synthetic vaginas all day long, burning their cocks on bad material until they find the perfect material to fuck. They've got women getting blasted by vibrators, dildos, fucking pussy grenades all day long. Some of them, there's graveyards filled with people who've tested this shit and it didn't work out until they found the perfect thing. So when you order a fucking dildo or a vibrator or a butt plug or a hand lube fisting shield, whatever they have, you're not going to blow yourself up. You're just going to come really hard. And that's fucking great. Nothing wrong with that, friends. Nothing wrong with that. So go to adamandeve.com and put in Duncan. And the offer code Duncan, it should be in there somewhere. You get a free extra gift. I don't know what. What the fuck is it? Also, why can't you... A free extra gift so sensual we can't make mention on the radio. Since when can you not talk about sensual things on the radio? I thought you just couldn't talk about fucking. And pussies. I didn't know you couldn't talk about sensual things. Like, what? You can't... What is it? What do they send you? Like a nice pair of gloves? These gloves are so sensual we can't mention it on the radio. Sensual. I always thought of sensual as like sitting in front of the fire with somebody and like drinking wine and listening to Philip Glass. I don't know. You guys got to rewrite that. It should say, plus a free extra gift. So fucking sexually potent, it will blast the tip off of your clitoris like a 4th of July firework at the beach. That's what I'd say. Rewrite it. You'll sell more butt plugs. And I hope you do. Now, this episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, we have a dear, sweet, wonderful friend of mine who's a comedian and a really good actor named Johnny Pemberton. Pemberton's been booking shit left and right because he, unlike so many other comedians, actually started taking acting classes and applied himself to going into a direction in the multiverse where he wants to exist within. Like so many others of us who just sit around, play video games all day and think that fucking the head of NBC is going to wander into our shit apartment, step over our disgusting beer cans and all the trash scattered all over the floor and look at us make a certain expression of joy as we blast somebody in Call of Duty and think, oh yeah, that's the perfect lead for my show. Johnny Pemberton got out there, fucking paid God knows how much for acting classes. Got trained by some drill sergeant that I tremble in fear of the idea of taking her class because she apparently is really, really hard on her students. But he made it through. And he fucking started booking shit. Movies. He's in an NBC show now. He booked a pilot at pilot season. Pilot season, if you don't know, if you don't live in LA, LA has like a cycle where there's development season, pilot season. Pilot season is fucking fucked up for actors. It's just fucked up. They live for it. They fly in from New York for pilot season. They sublet and they fucking shave their bodies and lube their fucking bodies up with oils and lotions and lipsticks and hair. They get their hair curled and earrings extended and their eyes darkened and they try to transform every single part of their body to perfectly become the puzzle piece that the corporate executives desperately need to find so that they can sell more antidepressants. It's a brutal thing, man. You drive through fucking traffic in your fucking shit car, not knowing what's gonna happen. You fucking go in there. You have to go to something. They are so... It's an initiatory ritual, which ends, if you're lucky, with you sitting in an air-conditioned trailer that they call a honey wagon with a plasma screen TV in there and 17 servants rubbing your feet and fucking fanning you and just getting you ready to go out there and read lines in front of the camera. And it's a fucking joy for some people. It's a joy for anyone. Anybody would want that. It's fucking awesome. Who wouldn't want that? I mean, I guess there's some people like saints probably wouldn't want that. And people who want to like help people in the darkest reaches of Africa and vets and doctors and people who are more drawn towards the visual arts probably wouldn't want it, but people like us, comedians, people like people who want to fucking just, who love performing and love the fucking idea of like getting paid insane amounts of money for just saying some words in a certain way. I don't know. That sounds pretty fun. That's a cool way to make money in this fucking society, if you ask me. And not all of us can do it. I've never booked a fucking pilot. It's hard. The competition's stiff, but Pemberton did it. So that makes him a conquering dragon. He did it where so many others failed. Pemberton did it. In fact, I think I'm the reason he was able to do it. Because 2 days prior to his audition, I helped him run lines. So you hear that, Johnny? I'm the reason you're fucking going to be sitting in that fucking honey wagon, drinking ginseng tea, watching plasma screens, smelling the billowing hairspray rolling out of the makeup trailer that's being applied to all those juicy, delicious actresses you're about to be surrounded by. Pemberton's a conqueror. He got to the part of the multiverse he wanted to get to, and he did it intentionally, and he did it by working really fucking hard. We have certain disagreements on certain topics. He thinks mushrooms are better than acid. What a loon. He's more of a fan of the idea of peak oil, that everything's going to collapse and everyone's going to fucking die. We're going to run out of fucking oil and everything's going to catch on fire. Whereas I believe we are at the precipice of a technologically enhanced paradise where people overcome all the preconceived notions that are holding them into life patterns that are 1/90th of how incredible their life could be. But we're really good friends, and he fucking brews an amazing cider, and he fucking grows tomatoes, and he's a real fascinating, interesting human. He's a human, not a zombie, not a vampire, but a true human, and an inspiration to us all. Because my sweet friends, look at yourself right now. Look at where you're at. Honestly, appraise your situation. Gaze around your house or apartment. What are you surrounded by? Are you surrounded by a fucking mess? I've been there. Are you in a basement surrounded by fucking shit everywhere and garbage and orange rinds and fucking old rotten soup that you left on some counter? Jizz socks scattered around. Fucking the blinds haven't been up on your window for the last 4 years and you're just in some dusty shit state like some old bee under a windowsill that's been there since last summer and is desperately just trying to find one last thing to sting before it dies. Is that what you are? Are you in a shit family surrounded by shit fucking, a shit relationship with no sex and pretending that that's normal? Pretending that that's just part of what it's like, you know? We're balanced now and everything's, you know? Sometimes, you know, it's better to have the stability than it is just to be fucking all the time. That's an immature way to live, you know? And I'm just happy when my wife touches me once every 2 years.
Is that you?
Or maybe you're with a fucking husband who doesn't do anything for you, who's sucking your life energy away, who's greedy and selfish and doesn't pay any attention to all the great things that you do. It's probably fucking 7 other girls. And since that's breaking the rules of the game that you guys initially established, that makes him a fucking asshole. Or maybe you're in some crap job with a vampire boss who's convinced you that you deserve to get paid whatever tiny amount of money you're getting paid. And it's convinced you that you're a useless, pitiful, easily replaceable cog in a machine pumping out nothing. You don't need to be there. You don't have to fucking be there. And all the people will tell you that you do, well, they're demons. And they've been sent into your life by some kind of satanic force. Now, I don't know what that force is. You invited them in. That's what I know. Because a vampire can only go where they're invited. So you got to fucking kill the vampire in your life. Open your heart to love. Buy some fucking butt plugs. Go dancing more. I never dance. I should go. I feel weird dancing. Find something weird like dancing. I don't know. Fucking start rock climbing or find something novel. Because that's our job right now. Our job is to become conduits for the object at the end of history that Terrence McKenna spoke about, for the omega point spoken about by Teilhard de Chardin, for the singularity that Kurzweil predicted. Become a conduit for the novelty. Let it come blasting from the future through you and into this world so that you become some sputtering, spraying novelty hose, blasting this current dimension with bizarrity. Bizarrity, is that a word? In the words of Charles Manson, leave something witchy behind, man. Do something fucking cool. And one of those things that you could do that's fucking cool, if you feel like it and you like this podcast, fucking donate. To all those of you who have donated, thank you. Bless you. And for the big donations, get ready because you're going to be getting a surprise in the mail soon. But for all of those who've just thrown in a dollar or $2 because you like it, thank you for supporting this emergent form of entertainment billowing up out of the fucking internet. Thank you for supporting this particular form of novelty, which I hope I'm bringing into your life. And if you really want to go fucking crazy, go on my website and order my new poster, which depicts me getting possessed by the malevolent forces of chaos. They're not malevolent. But me getting inhabited by the chaos energies that come pouring out of my satanic puppet, Little Hobo. A lot of people say it looks like I'm having an orgasm in this fucking picture. I didn't see that, but now I see what they're talking about. And maybe I am. It's a chaosgasm blasting out of me. And if you put this poster in your temple or your kid's nursery, I think it's great for a kid's nursery or a kid's classroom, especially for kids' classrooms. If you're a teacher, put this shit up in your classroom. If you're a priest, put it up in your, put it up in your fucking church. Right, hang it on the cross. Put it right over Jesus' face. And if you're an Egyptologist, please get this in one of the pyramids. We're only making 666 of them. And they're gigantic fucking posters, and they're awesome. So go on the website, order a poster. And if you don't want to donate and you don't want to order a fucking poster, fine. That's the beauty of this shit. It's all free. You get to just enjoy it. You don't have to pay. And don't feel guilty about not paying if you do. Don't feel a twinge of guilt. Like when you're driving around, NPR tries to throw a guilt trip on you. Like, yeah, support. If you don't fucking support NPR, the arts as we know it will collapse. And the world will be overrun by barbarian reptilians. No. Nothing's really going to happen if you don't donate. But if you do, then all you're doing is cranking up the chaos energy in this weird little temporary autonomous zone that I'm hoping is going to expand to envelop the entire planet and fertilize the minds of the world so that one of them will grow the plans for a time machine so that we can open up some point in the future to all points in the future and experience every possibility at once, transforming from individual beings into some kind of super connected mind matrix that spreads throughout the universe and becomes God. We're God in the womb, growing ourselves. And once we come blasting out of the universal pussy, we're gonna have some fucking fun. So please enjoy this episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour with Johnny Pemberton. Go to DuncanTrussell.com and join the fucking forum. We have book clubs. We have a thriving community of brilliant people growing right now, waiting for your input, waiting for you to connect to the circuit that we are growing, to the thriving energy matrix that is happening all over the internet. We're one tiny little node of this thing, and we want you to connect with us.
Well, let's go ahead and come to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we'll lift up Duncan to give him the wisdom concerning his topics for his podcast to be successful. Give him knowledge and understanding. Speak to his heart with clarity. You said that power and glory and honor all belong to you. I pray for your guidance. Lead him into the right path. You said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You said, trust in the Lord with all of your hearts and lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. We thank you and we praise you that he will be successful in everything that he do. Everything that he touches his hands will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What they did to David Koresh
was
so
wrong. Try it again.
Oh, ready? Here we go.
What they did to David Koresh was so wrong.
Now it's all bad.
Do it again. Look, it's right here.
But it's not that. It's the rhythm is bad.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Don't Control Soul Family Hour. I'm here with Johnny Pemberton. We just wrote this song. What they did to David Koresh was wrong. Fuck.
So wrong. Wrong.
I have the worst voice. Try it again. Do it again.
I got it. Here we go. Ready?
Hey everybody, this is go. Start playing.
What they did to David Koresh was wrong. What they did to David Koresh was wrong. All he did was have some guns, have some alcohol. What they did to David Koresh was wrong. What they did to David Koresh was wrong. So wrong. That's a good little song.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know. Okay. Everyone,
maybe can we do it in their time or figure it out? Get in the studio. That was just an impromptu song.
That's an impromptu song that we're going to add to our new album that's coming out next spring. Mm-hmm. Is that when it's coming out?
It's called Injustice and Sparrows.
Yeah. It's going to be all songs of freedom and I guess what, 60% about David Koresh.
Yep. Because what they did to do to him was wrong. I mean, he was a crazy guy, but still. Just because...
Oh, they fucked
actually,
him.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that... A lot of people died, right?
Well, there's an excellent documentary called Waco Rules of Engagement. Okay. Have you seen that?
No, I saw different one.
God, Jesus. Get
Wait,
fucking
maybe
high and watch Waco.
Maybe that's the one I did see a piece of it. I saw the beginning of it.
It's fucked up. What they did to David Koresh was wrong. What they did is they fucking... I'm sure you're aware of this, but essentially what they did is they filled up the compound with like some kind of flammable tear gas.
Is that what they did? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's what happened. They ended up filling it up with all this gas and then they just ignited it.
But it was an accident, essentially. It wasn't an accident.
That was no accident. When you watch Waco Rules of Engagement, there's just no question because they have video of the fucking tanks rolling in and spraying the gas and then setting the place on fire because they're pissed because one of the cultists blasted an ATF agent.
Right, because he was trying to break into their place.
So they wanted fucking vengeance because, they came without the appropriate warrant. Right. They handled the whole thing wrong. But, I think that stuff is really curious, because, man, why? That inevitably happens if that happens a lot in this country.
You're just not allowed to be different. That many people will be different in one place for too long.
Right.
Otherwise, it's like, wait a second. Are you digging a tunnel?
Yeah.
It's like that. There's too much dirt showing up in the mess hall.
Yeah.
You're digging a tunnel to enlightenment.
You can't form a... Have you ever heard the term temporary autonomous zone?
No.
It's a term that...
I don't know. I don't want to say hippie speak, but it sounds like one of those things.
I'll slap that fucking face right off your face.
It sounds like hippie something that doesn't exist.
Hippie speak. What are you, from the 60s? Who even says hippie?
That's why I said I don't want to say hippie speak.
Don't say hippie. Here are the two most overused negative fucking words now. Hippie and hipster. Those two words.
Well,
if you want to sound like a geriatric.
I think something wrong with being a hippie.
What's that?
I think there's nothing wrong with being a hippie, nothing wrong with being a hipster.
I think there's nothing wrong. I mean, I don't think you're supposed to use those fucking words unless you want to sound
pejorative.
Like an old sound old. When you call someone a hipster, you just sound old or like kind of washed up.
And if you're not old and you use that word, you are in denial of your entire life, basically, because you probably are a hipster, which is nothing wrong with being a hipster. It just means like, look at this person. They have style and they're sort of up to date with sort of things and interested in things that aren't white bread, boring things. That's what you could say. That's what a hipster is.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's
also like the broadest term imaginable. Like,
yep, it's meaningless.
It has no meaning at all. It's like saying rock music. Like, oh, rock music.
Rock and roll. It's even less, you know, rock and roll, actually. You know what I just found out? The origination of the word rock and roll. You know what it means?
Nope.
Fucking.
Oh, really? It makes sense. Yeah,
I didn't know that. Rolling, yeah. I just found that out from my favorite new book, Sex at Dawn, which I'm reading right now. It's fucking incredible. Rock and roll means fucking.
It makes sense because it is about fucking.
Temporary autonomous zones.
Okay, yeah, what is that?
Then we'll get back to fucking. Two favorite topics, temporary autonomous zones and fucking. Temporary autonomous zone is a term that I believe a philosopher / I've heard him referred to as a mathematician, Hakim Bey, came up with this idea of the temporary autonomous zone, which is like, you know that thing at a rave? You've been to raves before, right?
Yeah, a bunch of raves.
You know, like a really good rave.
Has a chill out tent?
I've never been to a rave with a tent. But you know,
a chill out room. Sorry,
you know those really good raves where like all of a sudden it happens, you know, like suddenly this weird organismic gestalt happens where everything's moving at once. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, and
you take your shoes off and you pump them in the air. That's what we used to do.
Really?
Yeah. At like hardcore raves in Minneapolis and stuff.
That's badass. Whatever it is, this thing reaches this kind of crescendo and there's this thing where you lose a little bit of your identity and you can feel this other thing come into the room, right? And it's badass. That is what Hawking Bay, I think, would have referred to as a temporary autonomous zone, which is a zone, a bubble that springs up within a society, which for a moment within that bubble, there's pure freedom, pure autonomy, but they can't sustain themselves. And so they always collapse. But when those things spring up in the form of like a Koresh compound, and I'm not saying that necessarily was a temporary autonomous zone, because I imagine there was maybe people felt restricted in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when something akin to that springs up long enough, the government will stop it. It's like, no, we can't have that.
It's just too much good stuff happening.
Yeah, too many ideas are going to come out of that place.
I'm trying to think of an example. What else would be like that? I feel like, I mean, I'm surprised that Burning Man hasn't been shut down.
Well, I've heard that the fucking DEA run rampant through there.
Really?
And they come busting into your tent with a flashlight. And
they
basically what they do is they bust you for dope. And then they just give you like some really heavy penalty, some fine for it or something. I know someone who got fucking busted there for weed. For weed. They smelled weed and then this fucking pig came up and like.
I thought Burning Man is in California. No, it's not. It's in Arizona. It's in Nevada?
No, it's in Nevada.
Nevada, they have bad weed crimes. Weed crimes. They have bad weed laws, right? They're not like California. No,
yeah.
they're bad.
Assholes
you can own guns and you can
prostitution,
but you can't. But weed is super locked down because the reason it's locked down there is because the government doesn't have a piece of it. They got a piece of everything else.
Yeah,
there's no piece of the weed trades underground.
Yeah, they make some fucking serious cash off of marijuana being illegal. I mean, certain people, if marijuana is illegal, you make a lot of money.
Well, that's
off that.
There was some. I read some article about that and how basically that's the reason that it hasn't passed fully yet. It's just because. Because people who are currently making a lot of money in California with Northern California, they make so much money. Those are the places they don't want the law to pass, because then it's like business is so great for them. Like I went to some town, I think it was called Euclid in Northern California. They have two really nice record stores, and it's a tiny, tiny town. So does it make sense? Something's happening there. There's a lot of young money there because of all the weed that they can sustain two record stores and like across the street from each other practically.
Right.
And it's a tiny town. So I feel like that's like an indication of just how much money.
Well, no, there's a ton. I mean, yeah.
It's beeping.
It can only. Oh, that's my rice cooker. Hopefully it'll stop.
Really?
Rice cookers, by the way, get them, guys. They're fucking amazing. They're amazing. They're life transformers. A rice cooker, there's nothing like a nice fresh batch of rice with steamed vegetables.
Rice is pretty good. I don't eat that much carbs anymore, but now when I do eat rice, I'm like, oh, God.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Let's not get ADD. We're talking about fucking
weed. We're talking about weed, autonomous zones.
Temporary autonomous zones.
I think there's a piece of tomato on the ground here that my shoe's slipping on. That's a temporary autonomous zone.
Yeah, it came from the salsa.
Right.
Here's the thing. That tomato is not a temporary autonomous zone.
No.
That's a temporary zone.
Yeah, temporary tomato slip zone.
No, what we're talking about is like whenever like a certain type of freedom starts bubbling up out of the fabric of our society, the fucking pigs sweep in and try to wipe it up.
They're wiping up freedom.
Whenever in our country the winds of freedom start blowing too hard, The government doesn't tell us to set our sails to the winds of freedom. The government tells us to go into our houses to hide from the winds of freedom because they're afraid of what those sweet winds of freedom will do to our minds. Because when the human mind is swept by the winds of freedom, the human mind no longer wants to go to war. The human mind no longer wants to exploit his or her brother and sister.
Swept on the winds of freedom.
Swept
on the winds of freedom.
When you feel freedom, you don't want to be trapped in a societally sanctioned marriage where you've got to chain each other down to monogamy and...
On the winds of freedom. Monogamy. I keep wanting to make like, I want to make like an underground recording for you where it's got like crescendos of really simple music behind you saying things. You know how all those Bill Hicks videos have all been like almost every Bill Hicks performance now, someone has taken like,
yes,
put music behind it, it's or annoying, like visuals.
It's goddamn annoying.
It's kind of annoying.
It's fucking annoying. Just,
it is annoying. But
you know, they really do that too. Terrence McKenna.
Oh yeah.
I challenge you to find me a Terrence.
I don't know what Terrence McKenna looks like.
Find me a Terrence McKenna clip.
It's all
that does
penis
not have
candles.
Trance music behind
trance music
it.
And penis candles.
Trance music, Alex Gray paintings that have been, like, someone threw it into, like, yeah, After Effects, right, and did some kind of lame animation
fractals
effect. Just fucking play. The words themselves are great. But what happens is people want to, they feel compelled to add to it. They want to
create an experience.
Yeah, they want to create an experience. I get
when
it.
When you're TB.
You know what? If you're getting the information out there, good for you. You should be getting the information out there.
For TB, man. Tripping balls.
Tripping balls.
TB skills.
I hate the word. You know what, man?
I love it.
I
don't like the word tripping balls.
No.
That's great. I think it's a great term.
You know what? I never liked.
Tripping balls.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Tripping balls. I used to say that all the time when I first started saying it. I would go to this nursery, this big nursery in Tallahassee,
nursery
Florida.
Nursery school?
No, nursery, like where the plants are growing, you know?
Yeah.
And I would, we'd smoke a little bit and we'd get some huge Dunkin' Donuts iced coffees, mm-hmm, and take them to the nursery and just walk around. It's like 5 acres, right?
Yeah.
So you just walk around on a day off. My friend Lauren and I would do that. And we would just like get so high off this coffee, we'd be tripping balls. And we'd keep walking up. We'd walk up to people who worked there and go, we didn't actually, sorry. We'd always joke about how we find a lot of someone.
Hold on. I'm going to press pause on the story. You would get high on coffee?
Yeah. Caffeine, it can be, you never had like a crazy, like,
where is this? What part of the country is this?
Florida.
Don't pick up the guitar.
No, I'm tipping it over. Hold on, stops reverberating.
This is where?
Northern Florida.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go there because here's what you've told me about this place. It raves. People take their shoes off and wave them in the air, and they get high.
That was in Minnesota, Duncan. That
coffee.
Was in Minnesota. That's totally. Those are two separate worlds.
Well, I'm glad. I hope they never come together.
No, we would take our shoe, one shoe off, and you pump it in the air. But that was a weird thing to do because we weren't on drugs a lot of times at the raves.
It doesn't sound like you've ever taken drugs.
I've taken drugs. Yeah, I think it's so.
First of all, we have the term tripping balls. And when I hear
you
that,
never trip balls on caffeine.
No, when I hear, no, you don't trip
man.
On
yes,
caffeine.
You can. Yes, you totally can.
What are you in the eighth grade? You don't trip on fucking caffeine. You trip on
Duncan, you have to be subtle to the effects of chemicals. And they can transform your brain.
Well,
man,
it's a semantics issue.
You know it's true that you can be like, if you're high off a stimulant.
I don't use the term. I wouldn't use the term tripping for caffeine.
I know it's being
manic.
Well,
maybe.
If you let me finish the story, we would joke about it's going up to people, talking
but
to them.
No, it's
doesn't
kinda,
matter.
It's like this. Here's the thing. This is why
Look,
I stopped you. Forgive
okay,
me.
Stop
here's
me.
Why I stopped you. The reason I stopped you is because it's like a parachuter, like a parachuter term. Somebody being like, have you ever heard the term spinning glory?
Oh, okay.
You know, when you're spinning up there on the parachute after you jump out of the plane. Well, man, me and my friend, we were in this mall and went up the escalator and I was
spinning glory.
No, you weren't parachuting. So that's all. That's why I stopped you. But
really
caffeinated.
I like to say tripping balls in all things, but actually tripping balls.
Okay.
If you're tripping balls, then that's boring and dumb to say.
You said that up front. I wouldn't have sidelined.
If I was on mushrooms, I'm like, oh, I'm tripping balls. Then
it'd
be like,
annoying.
Yeah, that would be annoying.
You know, it'd be more than annoying than that if you're on coffee.
No, what if like you had a bunch of salsa and you just really had to go to the bathroom? You're just
tripping on this salsa,
brother. Oh, I'm tripping balls, bro.
Man,
bro,
this fucking lemonade has got me tripping balls.
I keep thinking about the coffee and the rice. Should pause it?
Oh yeah, let's get. Okay, guys, we're gonna cut to a commercial of some sort, and we'll be right back. Hope you guys aren't. Go get a sip of coffee and trip out. Friends.
You know you can. It's true.
Harvey, want anything special for your birthday?
Just a decent cup of coffee.
You're kidding.
I'm serious. Honey, your coffee's undrinkable.
It's pretty harsh.
Well, so's your coffee. You know, the girls down at the office make better coffee on their hot plates. Well, see you later.
And he didn't even kiss me goodbye. You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax. So, relax. Why don't you try Instant Folgers? Tastes good as fresh perk. Good as fresh perk? I'll surprise Harvey for his birthday tonight.
Hey, great coffee.
It's Instant Folgers. Doesn't it taste good as fresh perk?
Better
than those girls make at the office.
Honey, their coffee can't hold a candle to yours.
Instant Folgers taste good as fresh perked. Try it.
We're back.
I like my coffee black.
We just had a fantastic homemade Duncan Trussell family hour dinner.
It was good.
Rice,
simple.
Steamed broccoli.
Elegant.
Elegant? Would you call it elegant? I wouldn't call it elegant.
I would call it contemporary.
You'd call it contemporary?
Well, those are all the words that Gordon Ramsay uses for everything. Simple, elegant, contemporary.
Those are his three colors that he paints with.
Simple, elegant, contemporary. Oh, also, I'm gay.
Is he gay?
He's got to be. This is like a theory.
Yeah.
But I think it's very possible that he is. I saw one episode of that show, and he was very like...
God, I can't wait for that part of history to end, man.
What thing? What, TV?
No, the part of history where people are like, I think he might be gay. Where it's just like,
That's never going to end.
No, eventually people won't have to hide it.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, I do.
I don't think they'll ever really change. I think it's like a pendulum thing.
Call me in 20 years.
I think the pendulum will swing, but I think that it probably will always be... Sexuality is too rooted in, it's too primitive a thing for there not to be a certain group of people who find it weird. Even if you don't ever live with them or ever see him, or if that's like a moon colony thousands of light years away, it's still...
If you ever have a child, and I want to bet $100 right now.
Right.
If you ever have a child that is a boy.
Right.
I will bet $100 that boy will think it's weird that you have never sucked a cock. I'll bet $100.
So I think that in the future it won't just be that homosexuality will be super accepted. It will be frowned upon if you have not tried it. Yeah, like, what do you mean you haven't tried it?
Yeah, you'll seem like a bigot.
What do you say to a person who hasn't like drank alcohol? Like, you know, I don't like want to drink alcohol. You never done it.
No, it'll just be weird. It'll be like, what? Right. Well, I mean, you should do. I mean, you should try. You're never really going to know until you try it.
I only say that because of this. Because I don't think a lot of times it's society that keeps someone in the closet. I think a lot of times it's personal. I think certain people...
Yeah. But that's all because for the last many, many hundred years, if you were gay, you could look forward to so many pummelings.
It's bad. It's bad. But speaking of this, have you seen this documentary called Paris is Burning?
No, I haven't.
Holy shit. It is one of the most amazing subculture documentaries I've ever seen in my entire life. It's been made in the 80s in New York and Harlem. It's with all these drag queens. And it's like where that whole drag... It's where drag basically like began. At least it was not began. It's where it like, what? How do you say it? It's where it like came of age, how we know it now.
Yeah.
And it is some of the most like badass, fierce people you've ever seen in your entire life. People who have no money. They have nothing to eat. And they are like, they're black and living in New York City and they're gay. And it's just like these people who are so fiercely independent and like doing something that it's so... contrary to like society, yet they're being super badass and they're being really progressive and doing all the stuff that's they're creating this. They have this these balls every week or something. I don't know how often they have them, but it's so complicated and so fucking cool. It's like the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, these people are, it's like every single person there is Prince, but to their own unique way. Like, everyone's super, super fierce and badass, outspoken, stylish. And it's all like, it's all about acting too. Cause it's all about, it's so complicated. Like, you have to see the documentary. It's
people who are going for it.
Right. But it's cause they have nothing else. It's like their lives, all these people have been kicked out of their families. There's these drag families in New York City.
Of course they were.
They have house mothers and stuff.
So sad.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's super uplifting because they're just so...
Right.
They're badass.
Well,
they're,
because they're rising above the oppression. Mm-hmm. And there's always, it's always beautiful when something rises above oppression. What's more beautiful than when you're walking down the sidewalk and you see a flower that has managed to come through a crack in the sidewalk?
Right.
It's incredible.
That's just that's nature.
That's fucking nature. Yeah, man. But that's,
I love seeing that
but
shit.
But that's like, that's a component. That's a symbol. And
well, it's just, I think it's the same reason that, you know, you have like manufactured vegetables and stuff. They don't taste as good.
Right.
Because they have a very easy life. This is a cool thing. This is just like another science thing. I read something, I don't know, some journal something like a few years ago that found out that bruised fruit or fruits that have scars, like a scar is like when like a, something happened to the fruit when it was younger and it heals, so you have like a little like line, a little brown line in a tomato or something where it's like crusty. Any type of fruits and vegetables that have scars and are imperfect, they have almost twice as many nutrients. And there's all these factors to them that make them better because...
That's so cool.
It just seems like a person. Like, yeah, if you've had an easy life, you're boring and not interesting. And the same as a fruit. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's
so funny.
It's incredible that so much. See, the reason people like drag queens or anybody who's managed to live a unique life in a situation where that unique life is discouraged or illegal or... psychologically like poisoned by your parents, anytime anybody does that, they've done something for their entire species because they've created a intentional mutation.
They've learned
something,
a survival technique or something. It's like the first time someone, a monkey, threw a stick and realized like, oh shit,
it went for it. Anytime anybody
tripped,
the switch has been flipped and the flip has been switched. Look at Jimi Hendrix. You know, look at like any of the great legends. Look at the way fucking Jimi Hendrix dressed. That guy went for it, man. He just fucking went for it. Anytime somebody goes for it like that, because people, they always want to stay in the fucking middle. They want to stay in the norm. I've been surrounded by these people. It's so suffocating when you're around somebody and like you say the wrong thing or you act in the wrong way. And
well, you know what it is? It's people who are square. I feel like that's such a great...
No, dude. I've been around fucking comedians that are... Well, I guess comedians...
But they're square.
Square.
Like, square people. I was... Yeah. Someone I was around recently for a whole bunch of time. I don't remember what I was working on, but I was like, what is it about this guy? He's super nice. He's got great taste and all these other things. I'm like, oh, wait. He's just kind of a square guy. Like, he's not like... bad or anything.
Well, square
just,
is, listen, square is fine. If you're just, square and you like to like, whatever, you're square and you're living on the thin surface of your little fucking existence.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the same as what you're saying.
Fine.
Right? Is someone being like in the middle.
I don't mind square. What I mind is the square that actively tries to oppress conversations or situations by imposing their... No, man.
That's really bad.
It's really bad, but it's really common. Like, you get around the wrong person and talk about death or fucking, or you, like, become too graphic talking about something, or they'll get really weirded out.
Yeah, they get like, ooh, no.
No, let's not go there.
Ooh, no, that's kind of... Whenever I hear that, though, all I want to do is talk about, like, oh, I want to say something really bad now. Now all I want to do is just say the worst things. Talk about like child murder or something.
You'll get around people who always have the tendency. They're like, it's like, it reminds me of someone who's like trying to like sail a ship out to sea. And somebody on the ship always just wants to keep dropping the anchor. Like, no, let's stop here. Why do we have to go further?
We want to make everything okay. Everything okay. Keep it light. Copacetic.
Keep it light.
Yeah,
it's really
status
weird.
Status quo.
It's a weird tendency on this on my message board. I've had this conversation with many different people who all comment on the fact that they exist in some part of the world or the country where they're surrounded by people that they can't have deep conversations with.
Right. I think a lot of that though can be, I don't know if it's part of the country as much as it is like the community in which you live in. You know.
Well, no, that's geographic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that. No, I agree with you, though. Right. No, I agree with you. These, they're confusing. Right, I see what you're saying. They're confusing their geography for right. what may be a deeper thing that's happening in the world, which is that there is a there's a species right now. Our species is maybe splitting off into two branches.
Right.
And one of those branches is a branch that wants to talk about how they're getting the feeling that they might be existing in some kind of holographic projection or some form of multiverse. And if they focus enough, they can bring anything into their lives that they want as long as they're disciplined and work hard. And the other half of them, they want to talk about this fucking guy who got nailed to a cross in the desert.
Right.
And he's like, dad is a sadist and gays are bad. And they yeah. want to talk about like how it's okay to bomb people in other countries that you don't know and how war is the correct answer to things.
Right.
So like they're these two different people. And like the group that I hopefully that I'm definitely a part of, it it's seems
the
like
Jesus,
every,
the cross.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
exactly. Every fucking day I pray to my sweet Jesus to go to Loon Loon, his father.
Weeping
and I
Jesus.
Beg his father, Loon Loon, to send bolts of fire into the brains of anyone who thinks that there can be authentic human freedom and autonomy. Anybody who thinks that they can be happy in this life and aren't just happy with what they've got.
Jesus wept.
Oh my God.
Remember that part?
Yeah, totally, dude.
Jesus wept.
But in all seriousness, I think there's the species is splitting apart.
So do you think it, but if it's a species thing, that means that at some point those two different species, once they split, won't be able to copulate.
Like our dicks are going
to
not fit.
Well, that's
into
what it
Christian
means to be
pussies.
Different species. Like every dog, regardless of size, can have sex with another dog.
Well, then maybe it's like
if it fits,
right,
they can do it.
So maybe it's like the answer is not a brand new species. Maybe it's just like when some dogs turned into chihuahuas and some dogs turned into like pit bulls.
Right. But that's still the same species. I don't know how to describe it. I guess we're talking about two different things. One's like genetic stuff and one is like...
No, I'm saying that there's aside from like whatever the fuck you're talking about is, I'm talking about the the fact that there's clearly an emerging philosophical rift that
right.
we see throughout history
yeah.
happening again and again and again. But every time it bubbles up in the way that it currently is, it creates like... revolutions.
Oh yeah,
a situation of revolution.
It's already happening.
It's already happening. And but back in the '60s, man, they didn't have the internet. They didn't fucking. Can you imagine if Ginsburg had a podcast? Think of the reach that these people had back then. Like Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary didn't have a kid with a fucking Apple.
Right.
Has more of a potential reach than Timothy Leary had through his whole life, or any of the great like revolutionary thinkers that exist. Fucking
I still
Karl
think,
Marx.
Though, as much as that's true, as much as I still think though that it's nothing's has really changed that much, because just as the same way that those people could have further reach, there's that many more people shouting into the internet, and there's much more noise.
Like the
it's only getting noisier.
Right. That's it.
I am an anarchist and wish to destroy the earth.
You're not really an anarchist.
Not really an anarchist,
and
but
you don't really wish to destroy the earth.
Not wish to destroy the earth, but I mean, in terms of, I think that the only way that anything like that can ever be achieved was with like a massive resetting.
Oh, you're talking about total destruction, the only solution.
Not total destruction. Just it has to be a massive a dieback, you know, a brush fire.
Yes,
a brush fire,
right,
a
right,
cultural
right,
brush
right,
fire.
Right, right, right. See, this is where, okay, right. We always get to this point.
We've been on fire suppression for,
we get to this
for ever since the Industrial Revolution, if not further.
Right. So, yes, I understand. You have this, you have what could be termed as a pessimistic idea.
I don't think it's pessimistic at all. I think it just...
You don't think a shitload of people dying is pessimistic?
No, I'm saying there's a lot of dead wood that needs to be burned off.
You mean babies and humans?
I guess...
When did you just turn into fucking Stalin?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying it has to happen. I'm
well,
saying,
no, wait. Hold on. Yes,
I'm
you
not,
are. Listen.
No, I
hey, listen,
can't...
Listen, you were just saying. You
no,
were seriously
I'm,
saying. This
what
is,
I'm
listen,
saying is
what,
that it right, will happen regardless of any... Not by any human intervention. Not
a,
by human
you
intervention.
You don't think that's a pessimistic point of view?
No, I don't think it is, because I think it's like saying that talking about death is pessimistic, because it's a natural life.
No,
okay,
it's not like talking about death. You're talking about the possibility, and it is a real possibility. One of the many possibilities for our species.
Well, it's not it's eventuality.
You think it's an eventuality, and that's why I say you're pessimistic.
I think what I'm saying is that this eventuality that there is a. At the current rate of growth,
yes,
and the way things are going, if nothing changes, nothing crazy changes in our universe, nothing
yes.
like really big changes,
yes.
the human life will basically, like, in a way, like, choke itself out.
Yeah, no, I know this point. This idea. Yeah. This idea. I know this idea. This is one of the...
But I don't think it's pessimistic to think about that, because it's not like I live every day thinking about that, or...
No, I know, I know.
I feel futile. I don't feel futile to strive.
The reason it's pessimistic,
right,
is because you see it as an eventuality. Even though you acknowledge that there's other possibilities, the one that you've chosen... The one that you've chosen to believe in the most is the worst possibility, which is why I say it's pessimistic.
But I don't believe in it I don't believe in it. I just think it's something that could definitely, it's very likely that will happen.
Well,
because I think it's, this is why it's not pessimistic, is I think that all things act the same way they do in the smallest incarnations of nature. And right now, human existence is so far from nature that nature will eventually reset, bring humans back to what they are. And I don't think that means any sort of, like, it's not moving backward. I think it's the opposite. It's like moving forward, because, you know, I was saying about the fruit having like a scarred fruit has more nutrients. Like, that's just an example of how everything, every organism, all the characteristics that we talk about in people, it all trickles down to even the smallest plant life. Like, you know, I like to garden a lot and grow things, and I look at the plants a lot of times, and you see stuff that happen with plants that mimic a lot of things the way that people exist. And so I think there's a lot of things you can look at in the kingdom of nature that are, like, it's a great teacher in terms of that. And I think that that's, you know, if you look at the way society, or I guess just humans, have lived.
I know what you mean.
We're so far from nature.
We're not. First of all, we're not far from nature. We are nature. We're not. You can't get far from nature. We're an expression, an expansion of nature. There's no way to be far from nature. We are nature. We're nature, super evolving and complexifying to form technological extrusions that are probably going to give us the ability to do some insane fucking things in the future that are really good. We are nature. The premise, the idea that human beings are far from nature has at its roots a kind of Protestant mentality, which is based on this idea that there is a certain way to be, that the Lord is intended.
I don't think it's the Lord.
You think it's nature, but you're defining nature.
Right, but
nature.
Define nature, but...
You're deciding how nature should be.
I'm
the very
talking
act
about
of saying that we're unnatural is saying I
so,
know.
So you're basically saying
be.
That, like, everything that every person ever does is neutral.
It's not neutral.
Well, then
it's. I mean, it depends on. It's pretty. It's based on their community, and it's subjective, and it's based in, like, you know. There's a million ways to quantify that. What I'm saying is, human beings are nature. We're a part of nature. Now, if you were to go into the chrysalis of a caterpillar and you were to watch the disintegration of the caterpillar as it transforms into a butterfly, so you would be able to look at that and say, holy shit, this fucking caterpillar's fucked, man. It's melting and oozing into each other, and it's lost its form, and this thing's going to die. If you didn't know butterflies existed.
Right.
But if you knew butterflies existed,
then you'd say the opposite.
Then you would know what you were seeing was one of the most amazing miracles on the planet. And that's what's happened to us as a species.
Because of the things we've built.
No, because this planet is a chrysalis, and we are our religion and philosophy ideas.
I like that.
It's all merging and melting together. We're fucking each other. We're all mixing and merging and melding, and everything's melting into each other. And it's a little chaotic, and it's a little scary. But at the other side of this fucking thing is a type one civilization. But the other side of this fucking thing is
it's 2.0.
Yeah, it's 2.0, man. We're talking like we've mastered fusion. We've gotten over these silly.
But that's a technological thing.
Yeah, and also we've gotten over these ridiculous religious sentiments that right now are being trumpeted and bugled by only a few people who happen to have a stranglehold on their countries. This is all going to change. The internet's going to change
all
this.
What you're talking about is still a natural thing. I still think that makes sense in terms of nature.
Yes.
But I know we're a product of nature.
Yes.
I think we agree to some extent.
We agree. No, I think I changed your mind.
Okay. But
because you were seeing, I think you were seeing your eventuality. The right. melting of the caterpillar, the transformation of the human species as our civilization begins to merge and via a technologically enhanced revolution begins to reform itself. What you're just looking at like the muddy, murky part. But that's not going to last, and we're going to change really fast.
But if you look on a timeline too, the idea of how long people have been around,
yes.
that sort of changes things too in terms of what actually is nature, because it's changed. Everything's changed so much and so long that the idea that anything that would make even a mark on the history of the universe it's absurd to even think about that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know that's the thing. Everyone wants to make, like, dreaming absurd. People want to try to, like...
That is not what I said
No,
at
I
all.
know, but listen, here's the thing. I don't mean you, Johnny. Yeah. I love you. You know I love you.
Yes.
And I understand that you're a brilliant... No, don't play the guitar.
A major
wait,
chord.
Wait, hold on.
And listen, hear a major
don't do ADD podcast. Don't wait, hold on. It goes like... listen, because this always happens.
ADD
when something
podcast.
Important's emerging, don't... Like, there's no need to, like...
Highlight it.
Yeah, because this is the thing. Because we're hitting on to these two very specific perspectives that come up a lot. And one of them is the notion that you can be outside of nature as a human being. And the other one is the notion that we're veering towards some kind of like apocalypse. These are two ideas. Yeah. These are two ideas. And then there's...
I don't think about anything as an apocalypse would be happening.
Well,
I mean, I don't think it is apocalyptic.
A collapse, a die-off, a collapse, a mass die-off, a collapse, a kind of like burning, bloody thing. This is...
Well, that's revolution.
Well, it's how revolution used to be. But what I'm trying to say is there is right now in human history, is the part of human history that we know of and that we understand. I don't know what happened... how the pyramids were really built. And I suppose I'm open to the notion that there could have been an advanced civilization a really long time ago.
Such as ancient aliens.
Yes. But maybe it didn't work out. Who knows? Right. But in human history, as a species, in this fucking universe, we are at a point right now where we can actually dream or contemplate a universe where teleportation exists, where our lifespans have been tripled, where nanobots are reconfiguring our cellular structure to cure all diseases, and where we have endless fuel via fusion or some super advanced form of solar panel.
So we can imagine it.
No, we can imagine it now, and the imagination is not just a delusional delirium. The imagination has within it, there is, now I'm not saying
there's like real components that make all those things actually possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And just to finish my point, there is, I'm not saying it's a, 70% chance that this could happen. I'm not even saying there's a 10% chance what I just said could happen.
But
let's just say
it,
no. Let's just say there's a 2% chance.
Right.
Let's just say there's only a 2% chance that could happen.
That we can.
But there's a 98% chance that human beings are going to blow themselves up, evaporate ourselves, wipe ourselves up. But there's a 2% chance that other possibility is there, where we take the reins of our own subjective self, our subjective psychology, our physical bodies, and we actually are able to manifest any kind of universe that we want. We're talking about the technological singularity. Right. Now, if that's the case, if that 2% is possible, then 99% of us should only be focusing on that 2%.
Because
if everyone's focusing on the destruction and everybody's thinking that this shit might go down in flames and everybody's thinking that there's going to be a die-off and everybody's thinking that there's this inevitable violent collapse, then that's where the thing's going to go. That's like Mr. Teeter, my driver's ed teacher said to me when
you
I was
growing
up. You
drive where you look.
Yes.
Right. Well, so.
Thank you.
But I think they can kind of both exist. I could see a world where there is some sort of a massive contraction in the earth, like a revolution, like a spring revolution, like a planetary spring.
Yeah.
And through that planetary spring comes the 2% eventuality you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what I'm saying is it's the same thing. Like I'm talking about like a brush fire, right? Clearing away. But after that brush fire clears through, the growth of the spring growth is unrestricted. It's like bursting forth.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Like, you were talking about the whole thing of saying watering the tree of Liberty.
Yeah, sometimes you must water the tree of Liberty with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Right. I love that quote.
I love that quote, but I feel like we're on like a watch list just for saying it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. But they're scrambling right now. They're trying in every single way that they can to stop this thing, but they can't. It's like maybe when the fucking caterpillar turns into the butterfly, maybe there's parts of the caterpillar's cellular structure that's like, hold on, you guys, what are you doing? No, exactly. Don't do that. Hold on, come back. Don't do that. Don't move in that direction. If you move in that direction,
don't go up there.
Don't go. We're going to lose another segment. Oh, I swear we lost to God, another segment.
Daniel, you go into that sky.
Yeah.
You go into that sky, Daniel. You won't be coming home.
Don't start sewing. Don't start weaving that thread around us. What are you doing? You're making it. What is this thing? If we're in this thing, man, don't you want to eat grass? Don't you like crawling around?
Wait a second.
Do you want to crawl around? Don't you love crawling around through grass?
You've seen how fast them faggots move in the sky.
Yeah, you don't want to be one of those sky queens. Come on, baby. Stay
down here. Sky queens flapping.
Yeah, you don't want to transform. See, that's what's happening right now. So they're scrambling, man. Yeah. They're scrambling and they're trying to keep us from doing it.
Because the fact that Santorum has any traction at all just goes to show what desperation has moved to.
But see, here's the thing. His traction is working against him.
Yeah.
Now, every time the Republicans get one of their nominees in front of the microphone, the entire Republican Party is jizzed on. It's like they're just coming in the face of the Republican Party. They're just humiliating the Republicans. Every time fucking Santorum gets up there and talks about how there shouldn't, you know, necessarily be a separation of church and state, or talks about how women should put zippers on their pussies and lock them up and throw the key into
the deepest
fucking hall.
I wish he actually said that. What if he actually said they should put zippers on their pussies?
He's thinking that. But every time they get out there and start blasting this nonsense out on the airwaves, all it does is go into the earphones of the youth who hear it and roll their eyes and just think, I'm going to vote for Obama. And it ruins them. It ruins them. And I'm not saying Obama's the fucking prince of the earth, but I guess if it comes down to it and we're going to have to vote on someone realistically, I guess I'm going to take the fucking...
The guy who's better looking and cooler.
Yeah, I guess so.
The guy who was saying with Buddy Guy. The guy, Sweet Home Chicago.
If you're making me choose poisons, if you're going to make me choose poisons, I'm gonna take the poison.
Pick the guy who's a Wall Street. That's why Mitt Romney can't get any traction, because he's like the Wall Street guy. But Obama's already grabbed all those people up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's already like, you can't beat me. You can't sell out to special interests any more than I already have. So
yeah, it's true.
Like, he's bought all the shares of everything.
But I mean, these dopes get in front of the fuck at their debates and they just sound like goddamn idiots. That's what it is. They just sound like they sound so backwards.
Yeah.
And this is that thing I was telling you about. It's like, as the youth and as people who've tuned into the internet and turned off their television, as people who have begun to conglomerate in forums like the Duncan Trussell Family Hour and other online forums that create temporary autonomous zones that accelerate the evolution of anyone involved in the conversation, as people begin to do that all over the planet, then... and wake up a little bit more, and wake up a little bit more, and wake up a little bit more, then the Santorums and the Romneys and the Breitbarts, they lose power. Yeah. And it's not just that.
They already have.
You know. Yeah, they have. But it's also like the Oscars. You know, the fucking, the shit that used to seem so important. Like, remember how important the Academy Awards used to seem? You remember that?
I guess so. I mean, I've always kind of...
When you were a kid. Kind of when you were a kid.
I guess there's probably a couple times I saw them when I was like really...
Yeah.
Until I realized that... There's like some of my favorite movies weren't even nominated. Like a movie like The Fall wasn't nominated for any Oscars, when it's one of the most... You've seen that movie, The Fall?
No, but
it's one of the most beautiful movies ever made.
It is?
It's made by Tarsim. It's amazing. It's one of the most...
I'm going to write it down. We'll put a link to that up there, The Fall.
But that movie, they shot it all over the world and it took them like 16 months to make it.
What's it about?
It's hard to describe it. Basically, it's about a guy in the hospital who's he does stunts in silent movies and he hurts his leg really bad. And it's about him telling the story to a little girl who's also in the hospital. And the story is illustrated and it's a super fantastical, hyper color.
Sounds so cool.
Story about this guy. But it's an allegory to his personal tale.
Yeah.
So it's just ridiculously amazing.
And it didn't get nominated?
I don't think it got nominated for anything. It definitely didn't win anything. But it should have easily, hands down, won Best Cinematography. It should have won Best Director. It should have won Best Art Direction. It should have won Best Music.
So,
all this stuff.
Yeah, so you've got with that, like, obviously,
yeah,
like, however they're making their decisions are retarded. But the other side of it is, like, the pomp of it. You know, all that. It's like it's becoming more and more of an absurdity, an obscenity kind of like an obscenity. And this is another, I think, another sign of what's happening, of this change that's happening, because people are becoming less and less tolerant for the show, the ideal that corporate America is showing us is what represents the best way to live.
And it represents what you want. This is what you want, right? This is what you want.
Look, we don't want that. Why do I want that?
Right.
I don't want that. I don't want some fucking stupid red carpet or a Botox smash into my face. Or I don't want to be that. I don't want to be one of these cold, empty, soulless, vacuous.
I just want to climb a tree.
Yeah, I want to fucking climb a tree.
I want to climb trees.
I want to fucking get high and
when's
feel
the last
free.
Time you climbed a tree?
I climbed a tree. It's probably been about 5 months. We had a tree in my yard that I...
Man.
You're a tree climber?
I love climbing trees, yeah. I climbed this tree the other day, a little one. I just was like, man, this is awesome. You know what the cool thing is?
What?
If you get more than like 15 feet up in a tree, people will walk by, have no idea. Because nobody ever fucking looks
that's
up.
That's fucking cool.
You can just... I've watched people like talking as they walk on the street and they have no clue at
that's
all.
Hilarious.
There's a guy up in a tree. And they're not surrounded
that's
by leaves
really
at all.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Here's what it is. You're going... you're doing... This is the thing I'm realizing as I do some like experiments in like willpower and like manifesting reality. I'm realizing that the more you discipline yourself and the more you like... do things that go outside the norm, you end up in parts of the multiverse that are pretty empty. You know what I'm saying?
You end up in
vacant parts of the multiverse because everyone's going towards the middle.
Yeah, like, hey, is there someone here? This is cool.
Nobody's
just me.
There. You know, if you start waking up at 6, you start waking up really early in the morning and you go outside, no one's there.
No.
If you, it's like once you, the more you kind of challenge and engage yourself to exist in an extraordinary way, the less you're surrounded by people. And that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
effect.
It does feel good to do stuff like that.
Tree climbing is definitely
pretty great.
Tree climbing is one of those things where a repressive vampire would be like,
oh, get, don't.
How old are you?
Exactly.
Oh, look, what are you, 6 years old? Climb that tree. Get down here. Come on, have a glass of wine.
I was thinking lately that it would be really cool to get stung by a bee. I haven't stung by a bee in a long time. Have you been stung by a
bee? Oh, listen to him. Wants to get stung by a bee. Get out of that tree, Johnny. Stop wanting to get stung by a bee.
Well, I keep thinking about it because I haven't been stung in so long. I'm not allergic. I was thinking it'd be really cool to do a comedy show.
Yeah,
where you get stung by a bee as the beginning of your set, and you and you do like 10 minutes at, right after you as you're getting stung by a bee. Wouldn't
here's
that be
what
fun?
You do. Listen. Here's what you do. Here's what we do. Here's what you do. I promise you this.
Right. I mean, I'm serious. I thought about this.
Listen, I have a show coming up
right
at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Right. We're let's see. We're doing the show the first Thursday in April. I'll have links to tickets on the website. Will you do this for this show?
I might do it. Yeah.
No, not might. If you,
I'll do it.
So you're gonna get stung by a bee at the beginning of the show. You're gonna do.
Sure.
You're gonna get stung by a bee and do your set after being stung by a bee at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I can do that.
Do you guarantee that? Say, I guarantee that that's gonna happen.
I guarantee that's gonna happen.
So you're gonna get stung by a bee and do your set at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go, guys. Johnny Pemberton has agreed to be stung.
Oh, at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
At the beginning of my show.
The beginning of your show.
Okay.
Beginning
of my set, my act.
Yeah, the beginning of your act, you're going to get stung
my
by
gig.
A bee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And you'll do your stand-up.
Will you do it too?
No!
Why
I'm not,
not
out of my fucking... I ain't getting stung by bees. I'm not getting stung. Are
What's
you?
Wrong?
Have you ever been stung by a bee before?
Yeah, I have. It hurts
so
a lot.
Not, yeah, it fucking hurts.
But you know what? It's not... it's like low on the insect pain scale. There's something called a carpenter... A South American bullet ant. The South American bullet ant, and they call it the bullet ant because when it bites you, it hurts so bad that it feels like you've been shot. That's what they say.
No, I've seen it. I've seen that on
or the carpenter ant,
the Discovery Channel. Man, I'm not thinking about the Carpenter Act.
The carpenter
I'm
ants.
I'm thinking about how fucking packed. You know what? I bet I could sell that show out and not even say who else is performing, just based on you getting stung by a bee in the show,
okay.
Just to see someone try to do their act.
Right.
Tim Heidecker's on the show. We'll get more people. I just started booking it. So
I'll get Tim to... Maybe Tim will sting himself.
No, I don't want any of the other performers to sting themselves.
Well, what if I allow the option of getting stung?
No. Okay.
You gotta bring a lot of bees. You gotta have a sting option. Yeah,
you gotta bring a lot of bees.
You gotta bring a bunch of bees.
I feel sorry for the bees.
It's probably gonna be really boring and anticlimactic.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's an excellent experiment. It's certainly worth trying.
I think it would be great, though, to have a show, a comedy show, with that theme in mind. That's the theme, is like
getting stung by a bee.
Well, this is the show where everyone gets stung by a bee. That's how we do comedy around here. Get stung by a bee, talk for 5 minutes or until it stops hurting. Or you can't.
Look, it's just a great, no matter what, it's a great.
EpiPens.
Man, you should do that for your Comedy Central special, but you'd have to get stung like 3 times to keep like getting hurt.
I'm sure that it would probably be objections from animal rights and objections from like the censors on both levels.
Yeah, there is something
like sad, you're encouraging people to sting themselves with bees, which could cause we could get a lawsuit on our hands here because you're.
And also, it's sad to kill a bee. I mean, that kind of sucks for you.
Yeah, it is. But people use them for arthritis treatment all the time.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. They sting. You know that like it totally kills arthritis.
What's that?
Bee stings.
I didn't know that.
I guess it's a very effective. Like they have a bunch of bees lined up on little not tourniquets, little calipers. You know, they're locked in there and they just sting parts of someone's like knees or back or wherever they're having bad arthritis.
Crazy.
And I guess it's like a. It's a hippie trick, but it's. I think
stop saying fucking hippie.
I just want to say that to piss you off.
God damn hippie. It, man! It's fucking hippie, yeah, man. It goes a little. Sometimes Duncan goes a little too hippie.
You want to do a hippie speedball? It's weed and coffee.
Got a little hippie on this.
Oh, he's got that whippy. Do people say that on the boards?
Not yeah, they, yeah. On the Rogan board, some people have.
That's because those guys are into like the. Those guys, you know, that's the UFC guys, right?
A lot of, most people on the Rogan board are cool, but definitely there's like 3% of them are just, all they are is just lumbering testosterone factories, just in a red rage at any stimulus that isn't someone getting punched.
What's weird, though, is that how that is, like, hippie, I think you can be a pretty testosteronal hippie, too, you know?
Well, that's the next phase, man, is the hybrid. We gotta, it's like the idea is to go from, to not just be somebody who's got your head in the clouds and is completely focused on the ethereal and the trying to astrally project and trying to work chaos magic. You have to like build
the like a drag queen.
You have to build the physical body too.
Be a drag queen because they're like you're badass. And you have this fantastic aura and your fierceness, but you're also will take someone's head and smash it into a fucking phone box if they call you a faggot.
It's it's represented if you and I never know how to pronounce the name, but if you look up the Baphomet. Baphomet.
Yeah.
It's a hermaphroditic power symbol.
Like but isn't Baphomet also like aligned with evil or something? Like the devil?
This whole thing.
Right?
People have to like...
I don't know.
I know you don't think that, but the problem is like people, you know, still say things like black and white magic or good and evil magic
good
or like
evil.
This kind of shit. It's like you're just fueling your fucking subjective life ship to travel to whatever part of the multiverse you want to go to, and certain fuels, you know, require components that I guess some people would consider to
all
be.
All I'm saying is Baphomet does have
controversial.
Horns. Does have horns, and there is a metal band named Baphomet. So.
Well, yeah, but why? Because something has horns, it's bad?
No, it's badass. It's like, it's tough.
Yeah, there you go.
It's you know, but it's probably aligned with Satan and his minions.
Yeah, it's like, basically, it's representative of people's fear of
it's what killed those
nature,
boys.
The animal part of themselves. That's all it is. So people are afraid of nature. People are afraid of the animal part of themselves. And when they see, like, these symbols, which, by the way, you scared, superstitious idiots and dimwits out there who see the symbol of Baphomet or an occult symbol and think you understand it. You don't understand it. That stuff was encoded into this dimension in a way that you can't see it. You're blind. There's scales in front of your eyes. You can't even see it until you open up that third eye, you fucking moron. So stop freaking out about it because you don't even know what it is yet, but you'll understand once.
You know that Damien Eccles, Jesse Miss Kelly, and Jason Baldwin killed those three boys. No. That's Paradise Lost.
I know what you're talking about.
Those people were freaked.
Okay, we're going to cut to commercials. Johnny's got to go answer his phone.
I'm going to turn the phone off.
Answer it. Maybe it's important. Maybe somebody wants to trip. Balls. So anyway, you sweet, sweet friends. I was about to just start cursing the blind again, but so the thing is these symbols that people freak out about, and even like people who some people like trying like to be pentagram. Dark and satanic will use these symbols with the same lack of understanding that Christians will use them. You know, they'll put a pentagram on their album and they think that they've like,
it's tough.
They're tough or dark and they don't understand. These are, you're looking at mathematical forms. You're looking at these shapes that are like a kind of old,
like a powerful
pre-flood
shape.
Science.
That it's, got, like, it's like when people thought the number 7 meant a whole lot, you know, things like that.
Well, it's just deeply, like, it's like deeply encoded, like a good story. Like, you know, somebody will read a really good story, or sometimes if you're watching a movie with a particular type of dope, they won't see the deeper meaning in the thing. They won't recognize that there's symbols throughout the whole thing and realize that the thing is pointing towards certain ideas that you are difficult to sum up in words. They just take everything literally, and it's like that. That's a plague. That's, you know, that many people haven't been taught to look in the deeper levels of things,
or just not even think about it. I guess because, I mean, a lot of people just don't ever have. You never have to. It's like this. You have a life of ease, and so maybe you don't ever. It's never necessary. You're never called upon to do to look at something further than how it is presented.
Well, you know what the occult means, the term the occult means.
I don't know what it means.
It means hidden.
Oh, it does?
Okay. Yeah, it means hidden. So it's like right under your nose all the time. It's just sitting right there. It's not even it's not even a secret. It's right there. But you don't have you can't see it. That's the thing. Most people can't see it. And it's so funny, man. I get accused from time to time, and I love it.
Accused?
I get accused from time to time of being a Freemason.
A Freemason?
Yeah, there's like
who has said that?
Freaks.
People on the internet or people in life?
I had for like...
Not in life.
For like a glorious few podcasts. I don't know how many. Somebody kept posting, just admit you're a Freemason, Duncan.
But even then, what if you are a Freemason? Is that... So, does that even matter? Like, what is the significance of being a Freemason?
Well, no, because...
It's like saying I'm part of the Eagles Club, the Eagles Lodge.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, because people have mythologized that when people don't understand something, they mythologize it and they turn it into something that it's not. So for them, the Freemasons become some kind of like, I don't know, world controlling order or some kind of like...
the NWO.
Branch of the Illuminati. The Bilderberg. Or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the Bilderberg, all that stuff, you know? So... yeah, so it's really hilarious how the neo myths, you know, that are happening right now. It's really funny, but it's all just symbol structures, man. Am I a Freemason? To be honest, I couldn't say if I was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You can't say it.
No, I can't. But
Duncan just told me the truth right now. I know the
truth. You can't say it.
I can't say it. But I can't say it.
But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. If I were a Freemason.
If I was Freemason.
And I had access to the technology that the Freemasons have, because underneath all their temples, they have these like supercomputers. Yeah. If I fucking had access to that, and I'm talking to you, I know who you are. I would have looked you up. I would have found out everything about you. You're trying to out me as a Freemason on my message boards.
This is a personal message.
Guess what, my friend? We're watching you. We're surrounding you. I'm just kidding. By the way, this is how you rile up a loon. Next thing you know, you got somebody throwing a fucking rock through your window or putting a chicken under your fucking house. Do you know what a chicken bomb is?
A chicken bomb? No.
Ugh. This witch told me about this. A friend of mine who was a witch told me about
this. Bury a chicken in someone's house?
What? Oh, no. It's worse than that, dude.
Okay. I want
to
hear it.
So a chicken bomb. This was taught to me by an authentic, wonderful witch. I'm not going to say her name.
A chicken bomb.
I'm not going to say her name because I don't know that she wants me to say. But she told me that one thing that you can do, you take a fucking jar, a glass jar. What do you call those things that you jar like?
A can. A,
glass, a big canning
a big,
jar.
You could say, yeah.
Not a canning jar. It would be what's it called?
Like a pickle jar?
A mason jar.
A Freemason's jar.
Shut up, Johnny. Shut up. You take the...
Sorry.
Here's what you do. You take it. You go to the nearest Masonic temple, break in and steal a jar. Then you take a chicken and you put the chicken in the jar.
Like what, a dead chicken?
Buy a whole chicken. Chicken cutlets. I think a whole chicken. You jam that chicken in there. Then you seal that fucking thing up, right?
Right.
And then you either, I guess you would break into someone's house or you put it underneath their house in the summer and you leave it there. And somehow, and I don't understand how this would work, Maybe you have to puncture it. Look up chicken bomb on the internet because it's on the internet.
I know what happens.
So the
putrefaction.
It blows up that jar eventually. Uh-huh. Might take a long time, but eventually months. That fucking jar pops and just sprays putrefied chicken everywhere.
And it's the worst smell of all time. It's the worst. That's such a witch thing to do.
It truly is. Yeah, yeah. It's a fucking chicken jar. That's how you'll end up with loons attacking you. I'm not a fucking Freemason weirdo. I don't even know what that. My grandfather was a Freemason.
Well, we all know that the chicken bomb doesn't work on Freemasons.
No.
No, Freemasons don't smell on this plane. They have a different. They have little pits. They have pits like a viper underneath their cheek flaps.
Yeah.
And when those cheek flaps, that's why if you ever see a person smile twice. I do like a double smile, like a smile, frown, smile. Freemason. Because they're flipping their viper hoods to catch a new scent plane, which is the human scent plane.
Yeah, they have to actually like stick their smell organism into this particular part of the multiverse just to smell.
You know what would be great would be to make a movie like They Live, but modernize the Illuminati in that movie.
Yeah.
To where it's like it's super kind of grossly technological.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Cool.
And you can always see them with a special iPhone app or some crap like that.
Yeah, it would definitely be an app that.
But it's like a jailbreak.
It would
special
be like
app.
An app that Anonymous created and
it's
sends.
Like see the what are they called? What do they call in the movie? Illuminati? What is it? Is the controllers or it's
in the movie? They're called what's that?
I don't know. What name do they have?
I can't remember the name.
Right.
But I do remember loving that movie. I recently watched it and really liked it. If you haven't seen it, see it. But to get back to the Freemason thing, this is a popular thing on the internet is to accuse people of being a Freemason. But if you look at like Jay-Z, there's like people have put together these
Lady
awful,
Gaga,
these stupid Jay-Z things. Where
Andrew
they,
WK.
Yeah. And they freeze on their hands in some certain symbol that like so represents stupid. Freemasonry.
It's so tenuous. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there you can see a second people freeze on George Bush's face. Yep, you can see the reptilian eyes.
We're wrapping it up. Johnny's got to go to a show. I love you. If you guys enjoy this podcast, why not donate some money? What's the big deal? Just because we have a commercial at the beginning of it doesn't mean that you can't sling a dollar or two our way. Donate to the podcast. And if you don't feel like donating to the podcast, buy one of my incredible fucking posters
right there.
Imbued with the power of chaos. This is a image of me being possessed by Little Hobo. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Check that out. And most importantly, I don't care if you fucking donate, and I don't care if you buy a poster, but you know what I'd really like? I'd like for you to do something in your life that pushes you into a part of the multiverse you haven't experienced yet. Climb a fucking tree. Something as simple as that. Do something simple. Climb a tree. Fuck somebody in a way you've never fucked them before. Do something crazy, filthy, dirty. Cover yourself with oil and masturbate to piss porn if that's what you're into. Just push yourself out into the fringes. Read a book that you've never thought you'd ever read. Go to the gym. Fucking do this. Guys, we've got to expand the universe.
Go running.
We have to go running.
Go biking.
Go biking.
Listen to Jesus Lizard's album Goat while doing pull-ups in a tree.
Listen to fucking Jesus Lizard up a tree. Go hiking. Do something insane. You know what I'm going to do? And because I'm an idiot, I didn't respond to this fine human being, but somebody sent me a message who listens to this podcast and has offered to buy me a round trip plane ticket to anywhere in South America so that I can go and drink ayahuasca.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm going to go, which I'm wanting to do probably in late May or June. I'm planning a trip to the Amazon to go drink ayahuasca and hopefully to do a podcast from the Amazon.
And I'll go and get stung by a bullet ant.
And we're going to record Johnny getting stung by a bullet ant. But that is happening. And why is it happening? Because I want to push myself to the fringes of the multiverse and go to places that I've never gone to before and bring the information back to you. And you guys should be going to the fringes of the multiverse and bringing the information back to the Duncan Trussell Family Forum so that we can all accelerate our personal evolution. And I know evolution is probably the wrong word for the thing I'm talking about. Actualize ourselves, brighten our chakras, open our third eyes, and get our pussies wet.
Get pumped.
Get your pussies wet. get your cocks hard, love each other, fuck each other, and make each other happy. Because who knows? Maybe we don't turn into a fucking butterfly. But while we're melting into a sludge of an apocalyptic sludge of failure, why not have some orgasms on the way down,
and drink,
ladies and gentlemen?
Good tea.
Johnny, what do you have coming up for you?
Coming up? Oh, what do you mean? Like in life?
Do you have some shows?
I don't think there's any no shows I can think of right now that are of note.
Aside from the fact that you just booked a fucking hardcore pilot.
Yep, that's happening.
Booked
that's
a
good.
Big pilot. What's your Twitter, Johnny?
It's Johnny Pemberton, just my name.
So follow Johnny on Twitter, at Johnny Pemberton. He's going to come on the message board and answer any questions you might have for him.
I'll put links
up. In the comment thread, he's going to put some links up. We love you very much. DuncanTrussell.com, Duncan Trussell Family Forum. And fucking buy some of those sex toys.
What?
Fuck yourself. Do it. Buy some fucking Adam and Eve half-price sex toys. Give yourself some hard orgasms.
Yes.
And namaste. I love you. Spray jizz, guys. Let's go. Get it going.
I am a vampire. 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 Empire. I am a vampire. I have lost my fangs. I am a vampire. I am a vampire. I am a vampire. I have lost my fangs. So I'm sad and I feel lonely. So I cry and I'm very angry. And I hit some girl. So I'm the most satanic. Yeah, yeah. I am a vampire and I'm looking in the city. But the pretty girls don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
I don't have my fangs. Cause I have lost my fangs. I am a vampire. I am a vampire. I have lost my mouth again. I am a vampire. I am a vampire. I have lost my mouth again.
So I get bone and I shred. So I popcorn and I do the weight. And I sing with my voice is looking. And I want to play the guitar.
But my guitar is out of tune. I am a vampire and I'm looking in the CD. But the musical, don't play with me.
Don't play with me.
I don't.
What you just heard was Vampire off the Juno soundtrack, and that's by Antsy Pants.